from the 20th chapter of John. Our text is going to come from verses 1 through 18, but I'm going to read to verse 10, and then you'll be seated. Now, on that first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to him, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going towards the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter, following him and went into the tomb, he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. As yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. The very words of God. You may be seated. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word that would go forth. I pray, O Lord, that the ears that would be sensitive, O God, to what's being said, and that you will be glorified in all that is said and done today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Savior has risen. He's no longer in the grave. He's been there 3 days, and now it's time for him to rise again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's probably one of the most difficult discussions you'll ever have to have. And trust me, as long as you're a part of Christendom on this side of life, you will have to encounter that discussion. I know I had to, and I do so quite often, because it depends on who your family members are. It depends on who your friends are. Depends on who your co-workers are. It depends on who you encounter. You will have to engage in that conversation. Just recently, I was talking to one of my Muslim brothers who was from Palestine, and we oftentimes talk about Jesus Christ, and he says, "You know what? We believe in Jesus." I said, "Yes, you do, but to a certain extent." In other words, you don't believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. You have no problem with him on the cross, but the problem is with him rising from the dead. Also, I talked to some of my Jehovah's Witness co-workers. We have the same conversation where they say, "Well, we believe that Jesus did rise from the dead, but it wasn't a physical resurrection. It was more of the spiritual sense." And so now you see the disparity as to what we encounter when the term resurrection comes up. And it's up to us who are the body of believers to understand what that means and how to articulate what that means when we encounter someone and engage in that conversation. So my thought is, the resurrection of Jesus Christ solidifies faith in him and yet also in the scriptures. It is important that we understand that the resurrection, with that, our faith in Jesus Christ and our faith in the scriptures is what we're looking to enhance. Why is so? Because in Romans 10 and 9, it says, if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. Now, that's a difficult thing, a difficult scripture to understand or to receive if you do not have faith in Jesus Christ nor the scriptures. Because that is the very thing, the essence that separates those that believe from those that do not believe. And so we want to understand that the scriptures and Jesus Christ are synonymous. Why? Jesus said it in John 1 and 1. The beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so they're all together. They're all one in the same. However, I can understand today what that means, but I did not always understand what that meant. Because before I became a Christian, I was of the other faith. That's why I talk to my Palestinian brothers so often, because I understand what Allah was saying to Prophet Muhammad in the Quran. I was known at that time as Barry Salim Muhammad. And so I understand the most difficult thing to understand and receive was a Christ that's dying on the cross, because I was in a perishable condition. And even then, repeating the sinner's prayer, I had difficulty understanding that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. It was only when the Spirit of God and my faith grew in Christ and the scriptures where I really fully understood it to the extent to where I can talk about it, to where I can share it, to where I can actually have the faith that it is what it is. Because it was written. But one of the first things I want to talk about today is how we allow our circumstances to be overshadowed. We allow our faith to be overshadowed by our circumstances. Sometimes we're going to see in this scripture here that our faith, though never fully covered up or never fully extinguished, can be overshadowed based on the circumstances that we're dealing with or the circumstances that we encounter. Let's look and see what happened with Mary. Mary got up early, the scripture says, right? Went to the tomb with some of her friends, whole group of women. They went to this tomb to go and to finish a job that needed to be finished. They went to continue with the anointing, the preparation of Jesus' body, so that he can be completely laid to rest the way he should be. But on their way there, they get there and they discover a serious problem. Scripture says that when they get there, she finds that the tomb was open. She finds that the stone that was in place of the tomb to keep it sealed was no longer there. Now, it's interesting about that, because that tomb had two seals. It had the first one that Joseph of Arimathea, the disciple, he had put his seal on there to close it. And then, taking a word from my sister, Lisa, those rascals, those Pharisees and the high priest, they're sitting around after Jesus is put in the grave. They're having a good time thinking, you know what? We did what we were supposed to do. We put Jesus in his tomb. We shut him up. And they went as far as to say, and then they were having a great time. And then all of a sudden, someone remember, you know what? That deceiver, you remember what he said, that if we put him in here, that on the third day he would rise again? They said, oh, taking the word from Larry, oh, snaps. Yes. He did say that. He said that he would rise again. And they said, you know what? We're going to ensure that in case those disciples try and do some funny stuff and go and steal him out of there, we're going to make sure that they're going to have a difficult time. We're going to make it sure, because we don't want them going in there, stealing his body, and then walking around town saying, hey, Jesus is resurrected. He's not even in there anymore. So we're going to fix this thing. We're going to close it up. Yeah, you can do what you want to do in your own thoughts, but God has bigger and better plans. And so when Mary and the group of girls runs to this tomb and find that the stone is moved away, What they didn't know was God's plan was already enacted. God had already rolled the stone away with an earthquake. They didn't even know it. And so when you get there, it's still kind of dark. She looks in, she says, similar to Bernice, which is Ricky Smiley's character that he goes into, what? Jesus is gone? Ain't nobody called and told me nothing. Jesus is no longer there. So what does she do? She runs. She goes back. She goes back to John. She goes back to Peter and said, you need to get here now because our Lord is taken away. Somebody has stolen our Lord. Now, the key thing is she said taken away. That's key because that lets us know she didn't understand the resurrection. She said taken away. And so what happens is what? We find that Peter and John do a beeline and go straight there. Now, I can imagine now, because I'm not that bright, so I have to imagine these things. I can imagine that someone in the position of like Ed and Larry, you know, they you know, Ed is the guy that he's Peter and John is Larry. So it says that what happened was John, he runs fast. He passes up. He passes Peter up, right? He gets there quick. But what happens? He gets there, but he doesn't go in. How many of us are so in a hurry to get to Jesus? And when we get to him, we don't let him come in. We just stand there gazing. We just stand there looking around, wondering, okay, Jesus, what are we going to do now? Jesus is going to tell us what? Open your heart. Let me in. But John, oh, he's always the first one to do something bold. He goes inside, right? He gets in there. And so they go and they confirm, you know what? This tomb really is empty. There's no one in this tomb. We have a problem. We have a massive problem. Our Lord is not in this tomb. So the question is, yeah, I see that Jesus is gone, but where is he? Now, it says here that John must have had one of those CIS type mindsets where he begins to investigate. So he goes inside and he says, you know what? See the clothes here where Jesus was lying, right? Okay. But they don't look like they've really been removed. They don't look like they were moved in a haste. And I see this handkerchief that was over his head, that covered his head. It's to the side and it's folded neatly. What's going on here? And so he surmises, you know what? I believe that Jesus rose out of here. Based on what I'm seeing here. Because I know if it was some grave robbers, there would be no sense of them trying to unwrap him and take off the grave clothes. What would be the point of that? We just want to move him from point A to point B. Everything was, it was like he just said, you know what? All right, death, your time is over. You had 3 days. It was fun. I'm dealing with you. I'm done. And just came out. Came out of those clothes. Now, that's interesting when you compare that to when he called Lazarus forth from the grave. He called Lazarus forth and Lazarus came out. But he said something to those that were there that were weeping. He said, take off his grave clothes. Lazarus came forth with his on, whereas Jesus did not. His was still laying there, but he was gone. That's awesome stuff that God's at work. So the disciples had difficulties understanding what was going on in this tomb. You and me, we would have the same one if we were there then. Because we must understand that the disciples were pre-told on many occasions, Jesus told them that this was going to happen. He told them, based on the law of Moses, based on the prophets, based on the Psalms, that this was going to happen, that I was going to die, that I was going to rise again. But at that time, it was so perplexed. It was so hard to understand. And when we do that, we get to the point where it says, Jesus, I know that the scriptures are true, and I know what they said. But that's what we have today. But that's, they didn't have all of that. It's what we have today. But we have the scriptures that shows the completion of everything of what Jesus did. So what happens in my next point is our faith in Jesus Christ reaffirmed by the resurrection. It is reaffirmed by the resurrection. Remember now, our faith initially, when I spoke of earlier, it was only overshadowed because of our circumstances, right? And many of us have reached in circumstances before, and our faith had to grow within our circumstances so that we can understand it. Now we have our faith being reaffirmed with Christ's resurrection. Why is that? Because when Peter and John reviewed the evidence, the scripture says here that John believed. It said that John believed that this would happen. He believed that Jesus Christ had rose from the dead. But when they did that, it says that they did something interesting. When they came to the conclusion that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, they went home. You mean to tell me after all that, I'm going to go back home and I'm going to go back to doing what I was doing as though what just took place, just went over my head. I don't understand this. It's over my head, and I'm going to go back home to do what I was doing. But who stayed? Mary. Mary stays. She comes back. She's there, and something interesting happens, right? Mary now is in this tomb, and she knows now she's not alone. She goes inside, and she sees two angels. She speaks with them. They ask her a question. Why are you here? They took my Lord. I want to know, where is he? Why are you weeping? They took my Lord. I want to know, where is he? And what happens after that? Mary is talking, and then a third person stands behind her. She looks at him, and she's perceiving that he was somebody else. Excuse me, sir. Where is my Lord? Where have you taken him? Give him back to me that I may go and do it, rebury him. He says, what do you want? Who are you looking for? She had no idea. It was Jesus talking to her. Now, the scripture isn't completely clear as to why she couldn't recognize his physicality. However, if I was last seeing someone who was beaten to a pulp, who was crucified, who had thorns in their head, who was hung on the cross, who was just completely broken all up, and if I had my last visual of that, it would be very difficult for you and I to be able to correlate that the person we're standing here talking to is the person that we saw in that condition. But it's very interesting, because he knew what to do to get her attention. He called her name. My sheep, they know my voice, and another they will not follow. He called her name, and everything changed. She heard that familiar voice, and everything changed. Her faith then became reaffirmed in his resurrection. Just as today, when we're going through our trials, when we're going through our tribulations, when we're going through our calamities, we remember and reflect on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We allow the Spirit of God to speak to us, speak to our hearts, speak to our situations, and we become reaffirmed that we're not in this thing alone, that Jesus is true when he says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. How many of you believe that? Some of us are going through those storms right now, and the voice seems very faint. Some of us are going through some trials and tribulations where it seems as though our faith is fading away. Jesus is still there, but my faith in him being there is what's fading away. And oftentimes I need to be reminded that I am serving a resurrected Christ, not someone that's stuck in a grave. And if he's not stuck in a grave, he wouldn't leave me to be stuck in a grave. He would be there to hold me up. He would be there to care for me. He would be there to comfort me. He would be there to cuddle me. He would be there to strengthen me. And so my faith gets reaffirmed because I understand that I, like other religions who serve other gods, who serve dead deities, the God I serve is alive and he's well. He rose up with all power in his hands for a time such as this that I may go through. It don't matter whether it's an economic situation, doesn't matter whether it's a marital situation, doesn't matter whether it's a situation of health, doesn't matter whether it's a situation of relationships. My God rose so that he can see me through. What an awesome God. We serve a risen King. No other religion can claim that. They can claim, oh, if you live a certain way, there's a probability that you would be able to, when you die, that you would come back, reincarnated, and you come in this other body. Yeah, you can have that. But the God I serve is alive and well. He is so awesome that he would never forsake you or me. Now, when we think about that, we must add something on to that. We must begin to look at how this resurrection affects me personally then. Let's take it to today. How does that affect me? I don't have the shortcomings that the disciples had. They only had the Old Testament, but they had Jesus Christ with them. But yet we find in the scriptures that even though Jesus Christ was with them, there was still oftentimes difficulty believing the things that he would say. When he said that he was going to die and raise again on the third day, that he was going to be delivered over to die, Peter, standing right next to him, didn't believe that and said, no, that's not going to happen. And he had to rebuke Peter, remember? But we have today the opportunity to speak to Jesus. And when we look in the text here, it says that on the third one, it says that because of our resurrection, we can boldly proclaim the gospel. That's the part we all get a chance to do together. We can all now boldly proclaim the gospel because of Jesus Christ, because of his resurrection. Now, if he only stays on the cross, if he only gets buried, we do not have the boldness to proclaim Jesus because he's no different from anybody else. He's still in the grave. But because he is risen, we can proclaim him boldly. Let's look at the scriptures. Let's see what happened with Mary. It says then that when Mary turned around and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, which means teacher, this is after he had called her by her name. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he said these things to her. She is now boldly proclaiming Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Since we have come to Christ, since we have come to the saving knowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, question is, where's my boldness? Where's your boldness? Have you been proclaiming Jesus Christ? Everywhere you go, every opportunity you get? It's something we must ask ourselves. Or are you and I stuck in the clinging process that Mary was being guilty of for this moment? She was clinging. She says, you know what, Lord? I lost you once when you went to the cross, but now that I have you here in front of me, I'm going to hold on to you. Why? Because I love you, Jesus, so much. I remember how you cast those demons out of me. I remember how you loved me so much that you were able to cleanse me of all the things that I had inside of me. And so I want to stick with you. I don't want to let you go. But Jesus is saying, you cannot serve me to the fullness of your capacity if you're holding on just to me. You must let go of me so that I can send you. Oftentimes we find ourselves holding on to Jesus when Jesus is saying, look, I'm inside of you. There's nothing to hold on to. I'm here. I'm in you. But we have work still to do. We have still a vineyard out there that's plentiful. But if any job, if you have a job of service that you're to perform, if you do not go, if you have a meeting and you only stay in that meeting, or if you have a particular area you like to stay in, but yet your job description details that you have to go out and do some things, no work will get done. Absolutely no work will get done at all. Or if you're going through a trial or a tribulation, and you're just spending all your times on your knees praying, God sometimes says, get up. I've heard you. I'm working this thing out. Now, by faith, I need you to get up, and I need you to do some other things while you're yet going through this one. And then you'll find yourself getting strengthened. You'll find yourself getting encouraged ever the more as you go out. That's how God works. And so she gets this task from the Savior. He says, I need you to go do something. Has God asked that to you lately? Has he said to any of you or me, I need you to go do something. I need you to go tell someone. Yes, I love you. You're demonstrating the fact that you love me. But you know what's the most interesting thing about this? Is Jesus, when he died on the cross, who was the last person he talked to? He told that thief, this day will you be with me in paradise. And now he talks to the person that he cast out demons out of. He's no respecter person. God loves us. He's awesome. But it's interesting also is because it was a woman that he chose to talk to and to give this task to. Now, during the Jewish times, during the Bible times, you didn't send a woman to do those kind of things. Women were looked up, they were frowned upon to carry out these type of tasks. And for God, so for Jesus to say, you know what? Things have changed now. This is the new dawn and a new day. This woman who came to me with love, with the expectation to come and to anoint my body, but she find me not there in this grave. Now she's standing, she's weeping, she's just broken down. And then when he speaks to her by name, the weeping becomes joy. Now she's joyful now. She's excited now, right? She's willing to do what God has told her to do. Some of us, we may still be in our weeping. There may be some pains and hurts that we've endured and are enduring, even right now. And God is calling us by name. Enough of that. It's time for your joy. It's time for you to do the task that I've called you to do. And your task and my task is the same task. It's the same task as our church has, to go and make others known to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. It's the same task. But our circumstances can get in the way of those things. Not realizing that we serve a resurrected Christ can get in the way of those things. Being overcome by our pain and our sorrow can damage some of those things as well. God doesn't want us to park ourselves there. He wants us to move on beyond those things. He's the greatest healer that we'll ever come across. He can heal us in every situation. And so as Mary eagerly accepts his charge, she goes, runs. And you know what she reminds me of? She reminds me of the woman at the well. When Jesus told her about everything about her, she ran into the town and she told everybody. She didn't hesitate. She just went and told everybody. That's how we should be. We should get to that point that we run and we tell everybody about the goodness of our Jesus Christ. And in my conclusion, the Bible affirms the resurrection of Jesus Christ. By faith in him and the scriptures, let us rise in our commitment to serving the Lord. Let us rise in our commitment. Let us no longer sit in our seats, in our pews. Let us no longer stay in our dormant state. Let us no longer be attached to non-productive situations in our lives, in our relationships. Let us rise to an occasion to where we, in our faith as it grows, that we are serving a resurrected King. Because the lives of others truly and genuinely depend on that. Because we come across people every day and all day, but what we don't do is we don't understand that eternity and where they may spend that eternity is at stake. And so the manner of our conversation must begin to change. We must engage in our conversations from henceforth that whatever I talk about, I'm going to talk about with the resurrection of Jesus Christ being on my mind. And I'm going to allow myself to be sensitive so when the Spirit of God says, tell them about your resurrected Savior. Oftentimes we do so. We do it at work. The way we carry ourselves at work. If we are lying on our jobs, if we are stealing on our jobs, we are testifying falsely about our resurrected Savior. If we're doing some things that are just non-compliant to being in the image of Christ, we're in essence testifying falsely about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Jesus wants us to testify with our bodies. He wants us to testify with our testimonies. He wants us to testify in so many ways about his resurrection. Because there are others, remember I said earlier, there are other religions that are out there that are trying to group us all together. But none of them have the living Savior, the risen Savior, who was walking alongside them, leading them, and guiding them. They don't live for their God. We should be willing to live for ours. And if it kills us, we should be willing to die for ours as well. It's not going to always be comfortable. But Mary had a task at hand. Her task was to do what God had called her to do. Her faith was reaffirmed, and her faith was no longer overshadowed by her circumstances. She got past that. God wants us to get past that as well. Amen? Thank you.